Good evening. How are we doing? Not as tall as Todd. It's all right. So, who's excited for this Sunday? Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Not just, the delicious food that all of you are going to bring, but just the time to see so many people come together. It's like our giant service of the year. It's awesome. I love it. And get to hear, prayers in different languages. That always encourages me. Whenever I meet someone that speaks a different language, I always ask them to pray in their native language. And it's so cool when we get to hear other people talk to God in their own tongue. So to clear some things up, you know where we usually meet in the theater, right? We're going to meet on the other side of that little commons area into that gym. So that's where we're meeting. Does that make sense? So the theater is going to be empty, so don't be in there, okay? Don't forget to bring your food. Follow up with those who you invited that you know. Give them a call, because like us, many people forget, right? And, it's already April 10th. It's crazy. The year just started. So it's very easy to forget that the 13th is Sunday. So let's call them up. Let's have great follow-up. Amen? Well, I've discovered something, and I want to share it with you guys. I think about me way too much. And when I think about me, it seems like everything else goes wrong. Right? This person wants my attention, but I got all this other stuff to do. And then after that, I go home, and I got to do stuff there. When am I going to get time for me? Or, I don't feel like doing that. My head hurts. I'm hungry. Me, me, me. I. So, where is my time? When is it going to be perfect for me? When is everything going to align? When are the planets and the stars going to align for me? It's not going to happen. But have you ever felt like this? Okay, so three people felt like this. So we're not alone. But, I found the cure. I found the cure to selfish-itis. To the me bug. To the I syndrome, I found the cure. Open up to Philippians chapter 2. We all need an antidote, right? We need that vaccine. Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 5. Says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to hold on to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is an incredible challenge for us. I like to think about the universe and how big the planet is. So I got some facts for you guys. The oceans of the world contain more than 340 quintillion gallons of water. That's a lot of water, right? And in Isaiah chapter 40, lots of these references come from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. It says, all that water is right here in the little pit of his palm. That's our God. The earth weighs 6 sextillion metric tons. I don't even know what that means. It's a lot, right? It's a lot of weight. It says, but yet God says it's but dust on the scales. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 15. It's dust on the scale. It doesn't even register. It's nothing to him. The known universe stretches more than 93 billion light years. But God measures it with the width of his hand. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. I mean, he's, oh, the universe? Okay. That's my hand. There are at least 100 billion galaxies, right? These numbers are just too big. And each galaxy is made up of 100 billion stars. So 100 billion times 100 billion kind of gets you how many stars there are. And God reminds us that he calls each of them by name. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. That's a lot of numbers, right? That's a lot of names. But God knows each and every one of them. Nothing is too big for our God. Now imagine that you are the one who created it all. You have unlimited power. Anything you imagine, it's right there. You can do it. Nothing holds you back. You have no limits. You've never been sick. You've never been tired. You've never been sleepy. You've never been hungry. You've never been thirsty. You know everything and you see everything. You can create anything on the spot. And on top of that, you are surrounded by created beings who worship you nonstop, 24/7, all the time. You have never, ever been tempted by sin. Imagine that you are a God. And then you decide to give it all up. You give up all that power. Why? Is it because we deserve it? No, 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 no. It's because he loves us. And he said, I can help them. I can meet their needs. I can free them. And I'm the only one who can do it. This is what God said. It's amazing. He gives up all of that for you and I. Sometimes I like to read the Message version. I'm going to read it for you. So this is the Message version, verses 5 through 8. Think of the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity. Set the privileges of the deity and took on the status of a slave. Became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life. And then he died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. I got 3 points tonight. The first point, attitude of Christ. The attitude of Christ. Let's reread verse 6 and 7. It says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to hold on to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. That's humbling when God says, we're nothing, right? He said, I became a human and therefore I was nothing. I was actually a slave. And this is the attitude that we are to have. I mean, unlimited power and you give it all up for other people. I will give it all up. I will give up everything. Why? Because if God could give up being God, then I can give my time. I can give money, I can give food, I can give love, I can give patience, I can give kindness, gentleness, I can serve, I can help, I can give. It's amazing when we take our eyes off ourselves and we put it on God, right? Amazing things happen. We're like, wow, okay, God gave up that? This is nothing that I'm giving up. It's nothing. It's easy. It's a simple choice. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. It's like a page over. But this is our attitude. We need to have an attitude like this. Like Jesus. Give up everything to serve others. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 21. It says, surely you heard of him, talking about Jesus, and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, God is calling us to not only be new in the way we act, but to be new in our mind, our attitudes, the way that we think, what we focus on, to be like God. That's what he's calling us to be. He says, be like me. Look to me, look at my example, and do what I do. Have the same attitude that I have. That's an amazing challenge. Attitude is defined a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. So you have set your mind the way you're going to think, the way you're going to act, the way that you're going to feel. Think like Christ. Set your mind to think like him. And then you will be like Christ. Now, God is giving us a hint here. He says, don't focus on the actions. Focus on the heart. Change the heart, and the actions will follow. And that's what he's telling you and I to do. When I liked Roxanne, I set my mind. I had an attitude. I said, I am going to serve this woman, and I will be a godly man in her life. That was my mindset, and that was my attitude. So, all the actions flowed from there. We prayed together. I took her on dates. I helped her. I even changed her oil one time. Maybe a couple times. Blew her away. And God was gracious to me and allowed me to win her over. But that's what my attitude was. That was what my mind was set on. I will serve her, and I will be a godly man in her life. So it's the same with us. We need to set our minds to be like Christ. Like if God could give up everything, literally everything, and become nothing, why can we not give up the little that we have? Our attitudes need to be like Christ. When you drive to church, what do you think about? Do you think about all the stuff that you need to do? Okay, when I get home, I got this, I got that. Do you think about, man, it's already Thursday. Okay, can I just get a night off? You know, there can't be another ice storm. That was kind of nice not having midweek, you know? I mean, what are we thinking about? What we should be thinking about and what we need to think about are others. All right, I'm about to go to church where there's hundreds of people. Who can I encourage? Who can I help? Who can I serve? How can I give? Who can I help today? How can I help today? When you're in the grocery store, whose day can I make better? A simple smile goes a long way. And a simple hello. Oh, is that good? Is that good lunch meat? I've never had that. I mean, that goes a long way. People are lonely. People need friends and need help. We must be thinking about others. You see, this is how Jesus thought. He always thought about others. It's so challenging. He always thought about others, and nothing ever stopped him. Even being put on a cross did not stop Jesus from giving. I mean, to be in excruciating pain, all your friends to leave you, and now God has to turn his back on you because you have sin. And he was still giving. It's amazing. So what stops you from giving? What is it for you? Is it bad traffic? And you get to work and you're just ticked off. Man, I can't believe that guy sat at the green light. He was driving 10 miles underneath the speed limit. Is it someone saying no? Hey, you want to come to a Bible talk? Or, hey, man, I want to show some scriptures. Do you have a second? No. Oh, man. That's it. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. For the day or for the week or for the month. I got to muster up enough courage to just talk to someone else. Is it your kids won't listen to you? You're like, they're not listening to me, and therefore you take it out on your spouse or someone else, and you're not giving. Is it someone just rubbing you the wrong way? And therefore, the whole day is about you. And you get to church and like, can someone please give to me? That's what we do. Is it when your spouse forgets something? You forgot the card? Come on! I told you to get it! Like we've never forgot before, right? What are you set on thinking about? What is your attitude set on? What is your thoughts on? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at another one. The attitude of Christ is so challenging. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 21. I'm sorry. Sorry, 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 1. Yeah. Keep you on your toes. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in the body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Arm yourselves. Take up arms and have the attitude of Christ. Equip your mind that you will suffer and no longer live for yourselves, rather for God and for his people. Jesus gave of himself and served that which he created. He created us and he served us. And he died for us. None of us here are royalty. Right? None of us here are kings and queens. So why do we think we are the ones to be served? We are slaves. We are servants. Brothers and sisters, let us have the attitude of Jesus to give up everything and serve. Point number two, obedience through humility. Go back to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read verse 8. Obedience through humility. Verse 8 of Philippians chapter 2. It says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because Jesus, emptied himself and gave up everything he had, he did not think of himself first. Rather, he thought of himself last. And really, that's what humility is. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. So you're not thinking less of yourself. Oh, I'm terrible and I can't do anything. It's, you're the last person that you think about. That's what humility is. How often do you think about you? What order are you in? Is it number two, number one, one and a half? You know, how often do you think about what you want? What you deserve? What you should have or should be doing. I, me. How often do you have these thoughts? Are you really humble? Do you think of yourself less? Or do you think of yourself more? It's impossible to fill a full jar. Right? You must empty it first and then fill it. We must empty ourselves and then fill ourselves with God. You know, a student was given like this little test. Given a jar, and given some rocks and some pebbles and some sand and some water and said, here, fill up the jar. So the student put the sand in there, put the pebbles in there, put the water in there, and then it came to the rocks and said, I got no room. But what you do is you put in the big objects, the things that can't move, the big rocks, right? You put those in first, and then you put the movable things in after that, and it will work. You know, God is the rock, right? He's immovable. He needs to be the center and the core of our life. And then everything else needs to mold around that. So instead of trying to fill ourselves up with all the movable things, which a lot of us do, well, I got my work, I got my job, I got my kids, I got this, I got that. How am I going to fit God in all this? You have it backwards. You have to empty yourself, put God in there first. And then whatever there is room, it can work around. You can work those things around that. Now, having these things like work and job and car and house and all that stuff, that's not bad, right? We all have those things and we want those things and need those things, but they're movable. They're movable, and God is not. When you remove you, there's ample room for God. Humility, thinking of yourself less. When our attitudes are like Jesus, we consider others better than ourselves. We think of God far before we think of ourselves. I want you to think about this. Jesus was able to obey God because he was humble. Because he considered God first rather than himself. And therefore he was able to obey. And we all know the story, right? When he's in the garden, Jesus does not want to do it. He asks God, take it away. I don't want it. There's got to be another way. He doesn't want it. But he humbled himself. And he said, all right, whatever you want, Father, I will do. And his obedience led to his death. His obedience led to his death. And that kind of a side thought, just because we obey God doesn't mean life is going to be peachy and awesome and super fun and glamorous, right? Sometimes hard things are going to happen. But Jesus was able to obey because he considered God above himself. He humbled himself. Jesus held nothing back. He had no line. He didn't say, God, this far and nothing further. He fought with God. And he said, okay, you can have it all. So how far are you willing to go? Where is your line? And he said, no, God, this far and no further. I want you to think about that. Where is my line? What am I not willing to do? You know, right now, I have no stopping point in my life. I will obey God no matter what. But I know that will not always be the case. Because there was a time in Jesus' life where he said, I have no line, and I will do whatever God asked me to do. And then it came to the garden, and Jesus said, I don't want to do it. But when that time happens, and if you're in that time where you're like, okay, I clearly have a line in my life, do what Jesus did. Have it out with God. Be honest. Fight through it. Be real. Don't run away and ignore it. Oh, that line, that's bad, that's scary. And I'm going to just run the other way. Be like Jesus. Imitate him. Do what he did. And that's what I will do. When that line comes in my life, and I know it will, I'm going to have it out with God. And I'm going to have to humble myself and be like, God, you will be first and not me. So where is your stopping point? And Jesus was telling us, he's told us, you know, having lines and having stopping points is no way to live. Jesus showed us the way to live. If you go to Matthew chapter 18. Obedience through humility. It's an amazing thing. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus shows us the way to live. Starting in verse 1, it says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is an amazing thing. He says, humble yourself and become like a little child. And that's so interesting because little children are not afraid to ask for help. Right? They'll ask you questions until you're just like, want to rip your hair out, right? It's like, stop, please stop with the questions. I don't know why that is, all right? But that's what little children are. They trust very easily, and they're very quick to forgive, right? Sometimes when a kid falls, you can put on a happy face, like, you're okay, and they're like, yeah, I'm okay, I'm fine. You know, kids are amazing. And children know that they can't do it on their own. They'll try, right? They'll try to grab that thing that they can't reach, and then they'll eventually ask you, hey, can you help me with this? Can you give me that? I mean, children are humble. And for some reason, living 15, 30, 50, 70 years changes that for us. Right? We're afraid to ask for help. I'm going to look weak. I'm going to look bad. We're afraid to ask questions. I've been in the church for so long, I should know this. We get afraid. Something happens. I want to lift up Mike Rao. Mike Rao is a great example of a humble man. He constantly asks questions. He asked me questions. I'm like, bro, who am I? You need to ask other people. But he constantly asks questions. He always gets help. He gets input. He's a great example, and there's other examples like that. We need to imitate that. We need to be like little children and just soak it up, be humble, ask questions, get help. Live the life that God has called us to. I look forward to the day that my son comes here out of my wife, right? He's here now, right? Because I want to learn. I want to learn what it is like to be a child. I've never had a kid. I was a child at one time, but I didn't know what it was like, right? So I want to learn what it is, the humility that a child has. Write these down. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34 says, God mocks the proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. That's Proverbs 3, 34. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Man, I need grace, right? We need grace in our life. And we do not want God to oppose us. That is not a good thing. We do not want God to mock us. Let us learn from Jesus and be humble and not draw a line in the sand with God. This far and no further. Give it all up. Because one day, just as Jesus was lifted up, we too will be lifted up. That's why it's such a great reason why to give up everything. So go back to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read verse 9 through 11. Point number 3, God exalts the humble. God exalts the humble. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God exalted him. He has all power and authority on heaven and earth. He has it all because he gave it all up. Because he completely emptied himself. Because he obeyed. Because he was humble. Jesus is the name that we will all say is Lord. All of us, everybody, every single human that has ever lived will say Jesus is Lord. Either by their own free will or when they see him. When we see him, no matter how we've lived, we will all say Jesus is Lord. So let's choose our own free will to say that he is Lord and live that out. Amen. God took this man who had nothing, who died a criminal's death, who had no money, who had no children, and has given him all authority. Has given him everything. the man who had nothing, who couldn't, someone else had to buy his own burial ground. And he gave him everything. Write these down. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. God will exalt the humble. Amen. We can be mistreated. We can be last. That's okay. Because we will be exalted by our God in eternity, in due time. God loves humble people. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, he says, walk humbly with me. This is what I desire. Just walk by me and be humble. We will be exalted. We will be exalted. That fires me up. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is one of my favorite chapters because it reminds me why we go through what we go through. When it gets difficult, it's good to have our eyes on the prize, right? When things are tough, when we're obeying God because we're humble and it's difficult, it's good to remember that we will be exalted. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 42. It says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. We will be immortal. We will be raised in glory and power. It will be awesome. Turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "There in the white robes, who are they? And there, where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." God will exalt the humble. God will touch our faces and wipe away the tears from our eyes. I mean, can you be exalted any more than that? We will be before him, worshiping him day and night. We will be holding palm branches which represent victory. We will have victory over this life. I cannot wait for this. I cannot wait to be exalted. I cannot wait to get my new body, to be raised in power, to be immortal, to never hunger or thirst, to be before God and serve him face to face. The God that we've never seen, we will finally get to see him. And we'll get to serve him forever. It is going to be awesome. Being humble is worth it. The cost is nothing compared to the reward that we get. It's nothing compared to the return that we get. Jesus is God. He is Lord of heaven and earth. He created everything and has unlimited power. He set the example by giving up perfection and becoming nothing, and by serving us and becoming us. He served and loved and obeyed God to the point of death, even death on a cross. And God exalted him to the highest place, gave him all authority on heaven and earth. So let us have the attitude of Christ. Let us obey through humility. And let us be reminded that God exalts the humble. Amen.